Chapter 21. Cooper had just taken the first bite out of the biggest hot dog he'd ever eaten. It was a good 6 feet long and as thick as a fat man's neck, but somehow he was able to open his mouth wide enough to take that first bite. The bun was made of interwoven strips of bacon, and it crunched when he bit into it. It was a moment of bliss. As he chewed that first bite, he heard some kind of buzzing in his ear, like a mosquito had gotten stuck in there. His body shook back and forth, and his hot dog escaped his grasp.
"No!"
he cried. The hot dog hovered in front of him. The two halves of the bacon bun stretched out to either side and morphed into crispy, bacon-colored bat wings. A head began to sprout out of the flank where he'd bitten into it. A human head. Millard's head.
"No!"
Cooper cried again. He thought it might be a good idea to spit out the bit he had in his mouth, but he opted to swallow it instead. Hot Dog Millard grinned down at him as he flapped his bacon wings. The buzzing in Cooper's ear grew louder. The sound began to take form.
"Cooper!"
the mosquito buzzed.
"Cooper, wake up!"
"Huh? What?"
Cooper blinked. He was on a stone floor. Tim was standing over him, pushing and kicking him.
"Fucking vampires,"
said Cooper.
"All I wanted was a hot dog."
"What the hell are you talking about?" asked Tim. "Come on, we have to get out of here."
"Right,"
said Cooper. He got to his feet. He felt a little better than he had the night before, but still pretty shitty.
"So did you guys come up with a plan?"
"Yeah," said Dave bitterly. "We're all going to get in the bag of holding, and Stuart's going to chuck us out the window."
"Sweet,"
said Cooper.
"That's brilliant. Whose idea was that?"
"Mine," said Julian.
"Well done, man."
Dave hung his head.
"Unfucking believable."
Stuart was twisting, stretching, and being generally annoying, like he was getting ready for a ballet recital.
"The fuck's up with him?"
"He's limbering up," said Tim. "We're all going to take the express bus, but Stuart, being the one to throw the bag out the window, has to climb down the cliff the old-fashioned way." He turned to Stuart. "You're sure you're okay with this?"
"Not a problem," said Stuart, one leg raised high over his head. "I've got 8 ranks in the climb skill. Surface is rough. Plenty of handholds and footholds. The difficulty check, it shouldn't be too bad."
"It's a long way down, though."
"In real life, I'm shockingly afraid of heights," said Stuart. "It's kind of refreshing not to be. I'm looking forward to this."
"What if you roll a 1?
Asked Dave. Stuart shrugged.
"Catch me?"
"I'm sorry I stabbed you,"
said Cooper.
"Are you really?"
"Well,"
Cooper scratched his head.
"I was when I thought you were going to die. But now that you're okay, I feel better about it. I've wanted to stab you for a while now."
"Okay," said Tim. "Well, time's wasting. If we're going to do this, let's do it."
"Is there still an if option left?"
asked Dave.
"Did you come up with anything?"
Dave scowled.
"No."
"Well," said Tim, "there's your answer. Get in the bag."
He took a knee and opened the bag.
"This is so stupid," said Dave.
He stepped into the bag and appeared to sink straight into the floor. When the tip of his helmet sank below the rim, he disappeared completely.
"Awesome," said Cooper.
"Who's next?" asked Tim.
"I've been in there before," said Julian. "I'll go."
Julian stepped into the bag.
"Please get me out of here,"
said Catherine's bard friend. He crossed the room in 3 strides and leapt into the bag.
"Don't forget butternuts,"
said Cooper, carrying Catherine's wolf. It voiced its annoyance with a small growl, but didn't make a move to bite Cooper's face off, for which Cooper was thankful. He set the wolf down in the open bag. It let out a small yelp before its head disappeared.
"Coop?"
said Tim.
"After you."
Tim shrugged and jumped in.
"See you on the bottom,"
Cooper said to Stuart.
"Don't take too long to throw the bag. We've only got 10 minutes in there, and the clock is already ticking."
Stuart jumped up and down 3 times with his arms stretched out sideways.
"Well, then you better get moving."
Cooper, putting his trust in a guy who made him shove a giant dildo up his own ass, grabbed the bag of holding and pulled it over his head. The universe was completely dark as Cooper floated in space. There was no up or down. He waved his arms around and occasionally brushed against small metallic objects floating by him. He managed to grab one. Feeling it between his thumb and forefinger, he determined it was a coin.
"Bah!"
Cooper recognized the voice as Dave's.
"What's that smell?"
"I think Cooper made it," said Tim's voice. "That you, Coop?"
Cooper was uncomfortable, talking to people he couldn't see.
"Yeah."
Julian, said Tim, can we get some light in here?
Good idea, said Julian's voice.
A brief pause followed, then,
light!
Cooper was struck with awe that he felt inadequate to describe. It was stunning. They were floating in what seemed like an infinite void of inky blackness, but Julian's light shone off of hundreds, maybe thousands of floating coins. Some gold, some silver, some copper. A few precious stones reflected and refracted the light as well. It was almost like a child's misinformed vision of what it might be like to float around in space among the stars.
Oh my God!
Cried the bard, who had apparently only just realized that he was stuck in a perpetual somersault. He waved his arms and legs around, but was unable to keep himself from spinning head over foot.
I think I'm going to be sick!
This proved prophetic as he spewed a spiral of vomit which radiated from his spinning form.
Oh man, said Dave. That's so!
Dave then contributed his own stream of puke. Between the bard's galactic spiral of puke and Dave's vomit comet, the interior was looking more like space with each passing second.
Jesus, guys, said Catherine. Try a little self-control, why don't you?
Maybe the light was a bad idea, said Tim.
He was looking a little green himself as he floated, from Cooper's perspective, upside down.
Do you want me to put it out?
Asked Julian, who seemed to be handling the lack of gravity and orientation quite well.
No,
said Cooper.
Wait!
His eyes had been casually following Dave's stream of vomit as it followed a straight and true course away from Dave. The front end of it suddenly disappeared into the blackness as if it had reached the end of the universe.
Did you see that?
What?
Asked Julian.
Dave's puke,
said Cooper.
It's gone. It just disappeared.
Well, that's a good thing, right? Said Catherine.
I don't know,
said Cooper. He was getting panicky. He wanted out of this bag. He looked around, trying to keep track of where the glittering coins turned into void so that he could keep well away from that border. He tried to turn around, but couldn't. This made him more nervous. He finally managed to turn around a bit so that he could see behind him. Dave's puke train splattered him right in the face.
Wow!
Cooper cried, but that only resulted in him getting some of it in his mouth.
Shit, said Dave. Sorry, dude.
Cooper did his best to wipe the puke off of his face and spit it out of his mouth. Having someone throw up on his face was normally the sort of thing that would piss Cooper off, especially if it was Dave. But strangely enough, Cooper found himself much more at peace than he had been just a moment ago.
This is,
said Cooper.
I think this might be kind of awesome.
He reached out to Tim, who was floating just out of reach.
Come here, I want to try something.
Blah!
Said Tim, looking at Cooper's vomit-covered outstretched hand.
No!
Oh, right,
said Cooper.
Sorry.
He hastily waved his hand on his loincloth and reached for Tim again.
Come on, man.
Fine,
said Tim. Hesitantly, he reached his tiny arm out and allowed Cooper to take hold of his hand.
This is going to be awesome,
said Cooper. He pulled Tim toward him and held him firmly by the shoulders.
Cooper,
said Tim. His eyes were wide with worry.
What are you?
Cooper pushed Tim away from him as hard as he could. Tim's voice trailed off as he flew away like a bullet, while Cooper only floated back a couple of inches. It was a perfect demonstration of Newtonian physics. Then, just as Cooper had predicted, Tim disappeared. Julian gasped.
What the?
Said Tim as he popped back into existence somewhere below Cooper and to his side. He continued flying backward in a straight path past the crowd of his floating friends until he winked out of existence again.
That's incredible,
said Dave. Said Tim. This time, he came from straight above them and flew past as if he'd come in through the ceiling and exited through the floor.
That's enough, dude,
said Julian. Said Tim as Cooper grabbed him on his next pass. The two of them spun around like dancers in a space ballet.
You okay?
Said Cooper when they began to slow down.
That fucking rocked, said Tim. Do it again!
Hang on, guys, said Julian. I just thought of something.
What is it?
Asked Tim. His huge grin shrank to a cautious smile.
There's enough air in here for 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, said Tim. So what? That's plenty of time for Stuart to throw us out the window and Ravenous to come fetch us. Hell, we're probably safely on the ground already.
But that 10 minutes,
Julian continued. That's just for one person, right? Tim's smile evaporated completely. Shit, he said. There's six of us.
Six, said Catherine. Don't forget Butterbean.
I was counting Butterbean, said Tim. I wasn't counting you.
Fuck you, jerk.
You're a vampire, said Tim. You don't breathe.
Oh, right, said Catherine.
She looked down at her feet.
Sorry. These may be my last words, said Dave, and I'd like to use them to point out that I thought this was a monumentally stupid idea from the beginning.
Fuck you, Dave, said Cooper.
He scooped up some of Dave's puke from his neck and threw it at Dave.
Hey,
said Dave, waving his hands helplessly at the approaching vomit glob. He managed to slap it, and it exploded into a billion tiny specks radiating out in every direction.
Maybe, Julian said. There was a certain edge to his voice. Instead of shouting at one another, we should try to be conserving our breath.
Cooper instinctively considered suggesting that maybe Julian could suck his balls, but he held his tongue. Julian was right. Everyone floated silently, looking at each other with worried expressions on their faces. Now that he thought about it, the air was noticeably stuffier in the bag.
Just so you know, said Catherine, if you guys die and I wind up stuck in here, I'm going to have to eat you.
I'm okay with that, said Cooper.
Ew, said Catherine. You'll be the last, trust me. And that's if I don't choose to starve first.
What?
Said Julian. When Cooper turned his head to where Julian was floating, he saw nothing but empty space.
Where the fuck did he... Yo!
Cooper lay on the soft, rich earth, looking up at the speck of a fort atop the high cliff face. He filled his lungs slowly, savoring the crisp morning air.
Fuck, that's high,
he said as he exhaled.
Get off of me,
said a muffled voice beneath him.
Oh, shit,
said Cooper.
I'm sorry.
He helped Julian to his feet.
Thanks.
Ravenous was perched on a low branch of a nearby tree. The plan wouldn't have succeeded without him.
Ravenous,
Cooper said, begrudgingly acknowledging the bird. Ravenous went berserk with ear-stabbing screeches and caws, hopping up and down on the branch and flapping his wings wildly about.
What the fuck is up with him?
He said, your friends are still inside the bag, you big idiot. His words.
Shit, that's right,
said Cooper. He reached into the bag.
Tim!
As soon as he felt Tim's little arm in his hand, he pulled hard, inadvertently throwing him 6 feet in the air. He landed a few feet away, gasping deep breaths.
Damn it, Cooper, said Tim.
Cooper put his arm in the bag again.
What's the bard's name?
Wasn't it something like Jazz? Asked Julian.
Shit, said Tim. It's not Jazz, but yeah, it's something like that.
Jizz?
Suggested Cooper. His suggestion was met only with disapproving glares.
Fuck it,
said Cooper.
Bard.
He pulled the bard out of the bag. The air rushing into his mouth sounded like a hurricane wind.
Thanks,
the bard said weakly.
Butterballs,
said Cooper. The wolf fell out of the bag, panting and sleepy-eyed. Tim stroked the wolf's fur.
You okay, big guy?
Should I let your sister out?
Cooper asked Tim.
Get Dave, you ass!
Oh, yeah!
Cooper chuckled to himself.
Forgot about Dave.
He reached under his loincloth and gave his ass a good solid scratch. He sniffed his hand.
Fuck, that's grim.
He reached his ass hand into the bag.
Dave,
he muttered. He felt Dave's arm materialize in his hand. Even without having just summoned him, he would have recognized Dave's arm for it being covered in leopard fur. He pulled him out and dropped him unceremoniously on the ground. Dave gasped and sucked in air. When he was able to speak, he croaked out a,
Thanks.
Don't mention it,
said Cooper. He switched the bag to his right hand and reached in with his left.
Cat.
When he felt her cold, slender forearm in his hand, he pulled her out gently. She was only halfway out of the bag when her skin started to blister and smoke.
Fuck! She screamed. Put me back!
Cooper immediately shoved her back in the bag.
What the fuck just happened?
She's a vampire, you idiot, said Tim. She can't go out in the sunlight.
Sorry,
said Cooper.
Let me in there, said Tim. I need to see if she's okay.
Cooper held the bag open for Tim.
Give me 1 minute, then pull me back out.
Tim stepped into the bag and disappeared.
Great job, Ravenous, Julian said to Ravenous. You really came through for us.
Like fuck he did,
said Cooper.
We almost suffocated in there. What the hell took him so long?
Julian talked some gibberish that Cooper couldn't understand, and Ravenous screeched and cawed his response.
He said the bag landed upside down, explained Julian. It took him some time to wrestle the opening out from underneath.
Cooper grinned and sighed.
Takes me back to the time I spent with Dave's.
Thwack. Cooper found himself staring at the fletching of an arrow poking out of a tree inches away from his face.
That was a warning shot,
said a voice behind him. The voice was more calm and confident than Cooper would have liked.
The next one doesn't have to miss.
Cooper believed the voice. He turned around. No one was standing in the patch of forest where the voice had come from. From the looks on the others' faces, Cooper guessed that they, too, had heard the voice, but were also having trouble identifying the source.
Up here, said the voice.
Cooper looked up. A halfling crouched in the branches of a tree. He wore a green and brown cloak, decked out with twigs and leaves. Even though Cooper was staring right at him, the little bastard was nearly invisible against his surroundings. He had an arrow knocked and pointed right at Cooper.
What do you want?
Asked Cooper.
That's a nifty bag you've got there, said the halfling. How much do you want for it?
It's not for sale, said Julian.
Everything's negotiable,
the halfling chuckled to himself.
But I'm afraid the only currency we've got is arrows.
Mirthful chuckles came from at least two other trees, but Cooper dared not take his eyes off the only adversary he had already spotted, lest he not be able to find him again.
So how many will it take before you're willing to make a deal?
You're thieves? Asked Dave.
We're opportunists, said the halfling. We're just out for a leisurely hunt and noticed you gentlemen passing by completely unarmed. I must say, that's not too wise a practice in this stretch of wood. You might run into someone dangerous.
More high-pitched laughter chattered out from two of the nearby trees.
I have to get my friend out first,
said Cooper. He began to reach into the bag.
Uh-uh,
said the halfling. He pulled his arrow back threateningly.
Not so fast. We're going to do this nice and slow-like. No tricks. Now, what's your friend's name?
Dildo,
said Cooper. The halfling laughed. His laughter was joined by his friends in the other trees.
What kind of name is that?
It's sort of a nickname, really. We call him Dildo Daggins. It's an inside joke.
The laughter stopped abruptly.
Fine. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to reach very slowly into the bag and say the word dildo. You're going to pull him out of the bag just as slowly, and then you're going to put the bag on the ground, and you're all going to walk away. Is that clear?
Crystal.
Cooper reached with an exaggerated slowness into the bag of holding.
Dildo,
he said. Cooper felt the hard, veiny wooden cock materialize in his hand. It still had a greasy residue on it. He felt down the shaft to make sure he was holding the penis end and mentally braced himself for the coming pain.
Fuck you, Hobbit!
Cooper shouted as he whipped the steak out of the bag and flung it at the halfling. The halfling, true to his word, released his arrow, catching Cooper in the chest. Pain seared through his pectoral muscles.
Fuck, that hurts!
The steak had also found its mark, and it pleased Cooper to imagine that the little bastard in the tree was suffering a lot more than he was.
Magic missile!
An arrow in the shoulder cut Julian off. Sparks fizzled out of his open palm, but no magic missiles shot out. The halfling screamed and dropped his bow. He looked down in horror at the massive wooden dick poking out of his abdomen.
Why is it so slippery?
He said, pulling it out. He dropped the dildo and grabbed at the branch he was sitting on. His hand slipped. He lost his balance and fell out of the tree. Cooper jumped on the halfling, ignoring the pain from the two more arrows which struck him in the back. He wrapped one massive hand around his tiny throat and punched him in the nuts with the other.
Ooh!
The halfling groaned.
Game's over, little fucker,
said Cooper.
Call off your friends.
He gave the little guy a moment to comply, knowing all too well how difficult it can be to articulate one's thoughts right after a punch in the stones. He grunted as another arrow struck him in the back and one more in his ass.
Bing bobble! Snickers!
The halfling cried out.
Stand down!
The arrow stopped.
Now,
said Cooper. His words were directed at the halfling he had pinned on the ground, but he spoke loudly enough for the others to hear. He gripped the little man's throat even tighter.
Here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna tell your little friends to drop their weapons and fuck off. I will not suffer the indignity of dying at the hands of people named Bing Bobble and Snickers.
Do what he says,
the halfling croaked. Bing Bobble and Snickers obediently jumped down from their respective trees and held their bows out as non-threateningly as they could.
"Yow!"
said Julian, plucking the arrow out of his shoulder. He walked briskly up to the one nearest to him.
"I'll take that, thank you very much."
He swiped the bow out of the frightened halfling's hand. The other halfling simply dropped his bow on the ground and held his hands up.
"You two run along now."
The two halflings didn't need to be asked twice. They disappeared into the forest like cockroaches when the lights go on. Cooper was satisfied at the look of defeat that spread over his captive's face.
"Dave,"
he called out.
"I could use some help here."
"Of course," said Dave.
He waddled over to Cooper and lay a hand on his shoulder.
"I heal thee."
Cooper breathed a sigh of relief as arrows fell out of him like needles on a shoddy Christmas tree. His wounds were far less than completely healed, but he'd live to fight another battle.
"Thanks. Grab Tim, would you?"
"Sure thing," said Dave.
He reached into the bag of holding.
"Tim!"
Tim spilled out of the bag.
"What took you guys so? What the hell happened here?"
"Ambush,"
said Cooper. He stood up, lifting the halfling off the ground by his throat.
"It's been taken care of. How's Cat?"
"She's in pretty bad shape," said Tim. "She needs blood."
Cooper looked at the frightened prisoner squirming in his hand.
"Sorry, dude."
"Wait, Cooper," said Julian. "We should really consider the ethical ramifications of feeding an unarmed prisoner to..."
"What?"
said the halfling as Cooper shoved it into the bag of holding. Cooper looked at Julian and raised his eyebrows.
"Or not," said Julian.
"Come on, guys," said Tim. "Let's make our way back to town before we run into anything else out here."
"We have to wait for Stuart," said Dave.
Everyone looked up. Stuart was a tiny speck about a third of the way down the cliff face from Millard's Fort.
"Think there's any way we could speed this up?"
asked Tim.
"I don't see how," said Dave. "He's up there and we're down here. The only way to speed it up that I can think of would be to make him fall and try to catch him, which I don't advise."
"Crap.
I'm gonna go pray," said Dave.
"Good idea," said Tim. "Stay where we can see you."
Dave waddled to a tree about 20 feet away and took a knee.
"That's a good idea," said Julian. "I'm gonna go zone out for about 20 minutes, get my spells back."
"I'll get my daily allotment of songs ready," said the bard.
"Well, I guess that just leaves you and me," said Cooper.
When Tim didn't respond, Cooper looked over to find him curled up on the ground, fast asleep.
"Poor little guy."
Cooper looked up. It appeared that Stuart hadn't moved an inch. Nature, he reflected to himself, is boring as shit. He found a stick and spent the next 20 minutes playing fetch with Butterbean.
"Hey," said Julian when he'd finally snapped out of his trance. "This is weird. I used to only be able to cast 5 first-level spells in a day, and now I can cast 6. Also, I can't be sure about this until I try, but I think I know how to play the violin."
"My ass is noticeably less sore,"
said Cooper.
"Now that I think about it, I get the feeling that if we ever came across a trap of some kind, I would be marginally better at avoiding it. This can only mean one thing."
"What's that?"
"We leveled up."
"Awesome."
"Wait a second,"
said Cooper.
"You wasted a skill point learning how to play the violin?"
"I've always wanted to learn."
"What good is that going to do us out here? You don't even have a fucking violin."
"What did you spend your skill points on?"
"I always dump them into climb and swim."
"That's it?"
"I only get 2 points per level."
"That sucks. Why so few?"
"Because I'm a barbarian. We hit shit with axes. We don't tend to do a lot of violin playing. Also, I get a penalty for being stupid."
"Hey, guess what, guys?"
said the bard, sauntering back with his loot.
"You leveled up,"
said Cooper.
"Yeah,"
said the bard.
"How'd you know?"
"We all did,"
said Cooper.
"We must have gotten a bunch of experience points when we took down a vampire."
"I can inspire competence now,"
said the bard.
"There's a certain irony in that,"
said Cooper.
"How so?"
"A bard is about the least competent class there is."
Cooper looked up at Stuart.
"Outside of monk."
"I'm a supporting character," said the bard. "A jack of all trades."
"And if being a jack-off was useful, you'd be awesome."
"What's going on?"
said Tim, sitting up and rubbing his eyes.
"Oh, hey,"
said Cooper.
"I thought you were sleeping."
"I was," said Tim. "I had a dream that a bunch of assholes were arguing about..." "Oh, wait.
We're all leveled up," said Julian. "Did you?"
"How should I know?" said Tim. "We left our character sheets at the Whore's Head.
Cooper can sense traps, and I can play the violin."
Why the hell did you learn to play the violin?
I'll do what I want with my own skill points, thank you very much, Julian snapped. So what about you, Tim? You notice anything different about yourself?
I don't know, said Tim. I think I may have a better understanding of how kidneys work. It's kind of vague.
Okay, said Julian. So maybe you put some skill points into healing?
Tim yawned.
No, I don't think so. It's kind of the opposite of that. I feel like I know how to stab them more effectively. My sneak attack damage must have gone up.
They all sat for a while, staring up at Stuart as he ever so slowly climbed down the cliff. In fact, he may not have even been moving at all.
This is taking forever, said Tim.
Is he stuck? Asked Julian.
It's a tricky thing, said Cooper. That's a steep cliff and a long drop. One misstep could be the end of you.
They all stared for a few more minutes before Cooper continued.
But yeah, this is boring as shit. I'm going up after him.
What makes you think you'll do any better than him? Asked Julian.
I've maxed out my ranks and climb, said Cooper. And I've also got a massive strength bonus.
Hold on, Cooper, said Dave, waddling briskly back to the others. I might be able to help you. Guess what, guys?
You leveled up, said Tim.
Yeah, said Dave. I guess you all did as well.
Uh-huh, said Tim.
I just picked my first second level spell, Bull Strength.
He looked at Cooper.
I can give you an even bigger strength bonus to help you climb.
Cooper nodded.
Not bad, thanks. Come to think of it, I can boost my strength as well if I go into a rage. I'll be able to climb like a motherfucker.
I can inspire competence, said the bard.
Cooper wanted to laugh at him, but it was quite a climb, and he'd take whatever help he could get.
I can... Julian started enthusiastically, but it quickly faded. I'm pretty much the same. I can cast magic missiles and summon horses.
I can't see that as being much use in this particular situation, said Tim. Why don't you just hang back with me and watch the show? It'll be interesting to see what Cooper looks like with a strength of 28.
They walked toward the cliff until the incline increased enough so that it was more climbing than walking.
Let's do this, said Cooper.
The bard readied his lute and started strumming the beginnings of Eye of the Tiger. Cooper nodded in rhythm with the music.
Yeah,
he shouted.
Good choice.
His heart rate picked up, and he knew he was about to climb like he'd never climbed before.
Come on, Dave, give it to me.
He held up his hand for a high five.
I imbue thee with Bull's strength.
He high-fived Cooper. Cooper suddenly began to feel like a shaken-up beer can as his blood fizzed inside of him. If he'd been wearing a shirt before, he'd be tearing the shit out of it right now. His biceps grew to the size of watermelons. His man tits ballooned out into firm pectoral muscles. His legs grew thick as punching bags.
Fuck yeah!
Get moving, said Dave. I'm not sure how long this lasts.
I'm really angry, said Cooper.
His vision went red and blurry. His muscles expanded so much that he couldn't even put his arms down. His friends backed away from him, wide-eyed and open-mouthed. Cooper looked up and found Stuart. He loped up the cliff face like a lion runs on the open savanna. It felt less like climbing and more like shoving a mountain out of his way. He was halfway up to Stuart in no time.
Hey, Stuart!
He tried to say, but it came out as... Stuart looked down at him, nearly lost his already tenuous hold on the rock, and shrieked. He immediately started trying to scramble back up to Millard's fort. He didn't stand a chance. Cooper was on him within seconds. Cooper scooped up Stuart with an arm bigger than the monk's whole body and threw him over his shoulder. Descending the cliff was a breeze. It was more a matter of letting himself fall, grabbing a random handhold every now and again to slow him down. Once they were safely on the ground, Cooper dropped Stuart and ripped the nearest tree out of the ground just because he could.
Cooper! Tim shouted.
It was barely audible through the noise of blood rushing through his ears. He answered, and the tree started to get heavier. His body was shrinking. He came out of his rage.
What?
Still hugging the tree, he collapsed under its weight and fell backwards.
Fuck!
What the hell are you doing?
Asked Tim.
Sorry,
said Cooper.
I got carried away. Can you guys get this fucking tree off me?